Sands of Windee, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte of the Queensland Police was walking along a bush track on his way to Windee Station. On Windee Station, in the west of New South Wales, had happened something that had awakened his interest. Hence his presence in an Australian state not his own. Hence his garb as an ordinary bush tramp in search of work. The season was early October and summer was well begun. From a stockman's point of view, it promised to be, for the rest of the year, as bounteous as the preceding 9 months. Spear grass on the plain, knee-high and golden, rippled as a ripe wheat field. Blue bush and mulga gleamed with the freshness and fullness of their sap. A flock of newly shorn sheep, which had rumbled away at Boney's approach, were in magnificent condition. Galahs and cockatoos screamed and screeched, whilst over most of the land the fat and impish rabbit swarmed in astonishing numbers. It was the third successive good year in New South Wales, and the wonder of it was deeply felt by Mr. Bonaparte, who for 2 years had worked on a succession of more or less sordid cases in drought-bleached central Queensland. Whilst walking with the bushman's rolled swag of personal necessities within his blankets slung from his right shoulder and carrying a blackened billy can half filled with cold tea, the disguised bush detective hummed the immortal refrain of the soldiers' chorus in Faust. He walked with the soft tread of the Australian Aboriginal. Of medium height, free from impeding flesh and hard as nails, there was yet in his carriage more of the white man than of the black. By birth he was a composite of the two. His mother had given him the spirit of nomadism, the eyesight of her race, the passion for hunting. From his father he had inherited in overwhelming measure the white man's calm and comprehensive reasoning. But whence came his consuming passion for study was a mystery. Boney, as he insisted on being called, was the citadel within which warred the native Australian and the pioneering, thrusting Britisher. He could not resist the compelling urge of the wanderlust any more than he could resist studying a philosophical treatise, a revealing autobiography, or a ponderous history. He was a modern product of the limitless bush, perhaps a little superior to the general run of men in that in him were combined most of the virtues of both races and extraordinarily few of the vices.